Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 13th chapter, verses 1 to 23. Verse 1. Shri Shukumbhaksha, Vichayate Charama, Parvina Shakriya Pumirka, Sapala Yoramacha Yoropi, Tara Nirvitanyama. Shri Vichayam said, O King Krishna, who are so charitably disposed, when Vitrasya was killed, all the desiring deities and everyone else in the three planetary systems was immediately pleased and free from trouble. Everyone, that is, except Indra. Anybody remember anything from yesterday's class, Burijan Prabhu's class? Yes, Lila Shukla. Okay, so Vitrasura went back to Godhead and Indra stayed in this world inflicted by sinful reactions. And today we'll hear all about the sinful reactions that inflicted Lord Indra. Yes?
Although Vitrasura was speaking about pure devotional service, then suddenly he would continue to fight with Indra.
Quite amazing how he combined the qualities of a demon and a devotee at the same time. He'd be fighting with Indra, and then he'd stop and preach and talk about pure devotional service. Then he'd fight again.
And then he swallowed him.
First he'll preach to him, and then he swallowed him. He fights. It's quite contradictory behavior. Yes. So he was born a demon, so he had to follow his nature, but at the same time, internally, he was a devotee. He was a pure devotee. So therefore he was preaching pure devotional service, revealing his actual heart. Yes. Okay, let's, after Mahamukhut. Beautiful prayers full of bhakti.
Was comparing his love, different level of prema.
Different levels of prema.
First of all, to be a bird, a baby bird.
A baby bird, right. Yes, so a higher level is the calf who takes milk from the mother. It's more intimate level. The faithful wife.
So the same way it compares to the time when he could be able to reunite with the Lord.
So he was waiting for that time when he could reunite with the Lord. Intense longing. Very intense. So Vritishara has the nature of a demon. Internally a devotee.
So my question is that his nature devotee but by circumstances fallen demon?
Okay, her question is it that by nature he's a devotee, but by circumstances he's a demon?
And the same thing with
Prahlad and Bali Maharaj, yes. That they're devotees actually, but somehow they're born in the demoniac families by circumstance. Yes?
Asuras.
When they disturb the devotees, then they're considered as asuras.
Because Vritasana's father is a demigod.
He's a Brahmin. He's a Brahmin. But still, how Vritasura became a demon. But actually, he was following his duty. Because he understood by following his duty as a demon, he would go back to Godhead. So it's quite a service. To be a demon and go back to Godhead, that's quite contrary to our process. Our process is to become a devotee and go back to Godhead. So his class, he had to, but in the meantime, he preached to Indra. So actually he had a service to preach to Indra. But personally he had to fight with Indra at the same time. So what a service. And be killed by Indra, yes?
I think that nature, whether it's demonic nature or nature of demigods, it's still conditioned nature.
Okay, nature, whether it's demigod or demon, it's conditioned nature.
Therefore it's temporary.
Conditioned
nature.
Yeah, so devotee, he doesn't have conditioned nature, so he could be born demon or demigod, doesn't matter.
Devotee is actually original nature of the soul.
Yeah, devotee, everyone's a devotee actually. It's original nature of the soul. Continuation of the question.
Yeah.
Her question is, can the demon's nature be changed? Or is it forever? He says forever. So don't Adipush. Yes.
Very interesting description.
Brihadbhagavatamrita, interesting description.
When Gokumara came to Vaikuntha, he saw some devotees in the form of trees.
When Gokumara came to Vaikuntha, he saw some devotees in the form of trees.
Some as boars.
Some were boars.
Some as Indra.
Some as Indra.
Some as demons.
Some as demons. In Vaikuntha.
Yes.
My goodness.
Externally.
Looking like demons.
So,
I don't remember that. Some of the devotees is explained by Narada Muni that they go in their self-same bodies to Vaikuntha.
Perfected in the last body, and their body fits well with whatever.
Their body fits well. They didn't get sarupya. No.
Those who come as boar or as tree, they got sarupya.
Well, they got sarupya. Well, how come they don't look like Narayan? They got sarupya. Varaha bhaktas. That explains it. They got sarupya. Varaha bhaktas. You can get sarupya. You can have the form of varaha. If you like. Wow. Okay. So, yes. So, now let's get back to the answer of the question. Are we forever? So, in one sense, if you want to be forever a demon, you can be. But, of course, the heart cannot be the demon's heart. Yes? If you can preach like Ritvishura, then you can be a demon forever. Yeah. Yes, Amalabhankur. Otherwise, we have no hope. Yeah, if you're a demon forever, then what are we all doing here? You know, trying to be devotees. Better just go back to where we came from and be demons. What's the use of trying to improve if you can't? If you're forever conditioned. No, that's the idea. That we our Guru Maharaj has given us special mercy. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That in this life we can go back to Godhead. We can change our conditioning. In fact, that is what Sanatana Goswami says. You know that verse? About gold changing, bell metal can change gold. Tata kachinatam yat kansyam rasa vitanata. Tata diksha vitana dvijatvam jayate. You know. So then if you, by proper initiation, everyone can become a Brahmin. Just by proper, yes.
In this age of Kali, demons and the devotees' natures, they stay in the same body.
Yes, in the age of Kali, devotee and demon nature are in the same body. Krishna came, he killed the body of the demons, but Lord Chaitanya is killing the nature, the demonic nature. And that was a prayer we heard from to Lord Nrsimhadev, that please destroy destroy the demon-like desires in my heart for sense gratification and make me fearless in the struggle for existence in this world. So that is our prayer to Lord Nrsimhadev, that he destroys our demonic nature. No wonder I'm quoting Nrsimhadev. He came. Always, when Nrsimhadev comes, somehow he gets in the picture. Yes?
Another example of not by birth is Bhaumasura.
Bhaumasura, okay. He was born from the Lord himself and he became a demon. And the Lord had to kill him.
Not by birth.
Not by birth, yes. People have a discussion about that sometime. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. It's not by birth, but it's by guna and karma, activities and qualities that you are born. So we can just have a quick review of chapter 12. Ritvishura's instructions yesterday in Burija Rupu's class is all about victory and defeat. He was preaching to Indra not to be attached, that the victory is with the Lord. And in chapter 11 he had said, the Lord is on your side, so certainly you will have victory. Of course, Prabhupada explains the real victory was Vidrashura's, as he goes back to Godhead. Externally it will be Indra's victory. So he controls all beings, he controls our sensory powers, mental, bodily strength, living force, immortality. Can flip chart. And what else? He controls us like puppets. He controls the three Purushas. He creates and devours all. He forces one to die. And he awards victory. And in this 13th verse, I have a little something here by Srila Prabhupada. Oh yeah, on the 8th verse, Prabhupada in the purport comments that Vritrasura is the Sura, and Indra is the Asura. So, and verse 13, it was about how he takes away everything in the purport. With 10 hands, the Lord can take everything. And so Srila Prabhupada said that this happened to me. He says, I was trying to save my business, my family with 2 hands, and Krishna took it with 10 hands. And after making me a beggar, he's giving me with 10 hands. So Prabhupada had that experience in his own life. So when Krishna starts taking with his 10 hands, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's just going to happen, and better just give it all to him and don't waste time trying to hold on. So 14, therefore one should be equal in victory and defeat. And then 15, the vision of the liberated soul. The soul is the observer of the actions and reactions of the modes. And verse 16, I'm not morose, so you should not be. And he only had one arm, and he wasn't disturbed by that. Or did he only have 2 arms? He had no arms at this point, I don't know.
He had one arm.
When two arms were cut off, he swallowed Indra. So just see, anybody else would have given up, but he didn't. So something, what I was reading yesterday afternoon, I was reading these verses again, chapter 12, and one verse really struck me. It's just it was like when Vritrasura was walking, it was like the Himalayas walking. So I started to imagine what would happen if the Himalayas started walking. It's like, you know, it'd be on the news. Now they're approaching Delhi. It's like India would be finished, right? There'd be no more India if the Himalayas decided to start walking. It just kind of struck me, that verse. I was just imagining it. Now it's down to the end, Calcutta, approaching Calcutta. And I was thinking, what would you do if the Himalayas started walking? I thought you could jump on and have the ride or something. Yes?
When we read the 2 hands cut off, there's one devotee.
Yes, there's a devotee with 2 hands cut off. He's amazing.
Still, he's doing service.
I heard he's the best book distributor in his temple. I was watching him too, it was on Janamashtami, and we were doing Abhishek to Radha Krishna, and he was just in front of me in the line, and the Gurukul boy said, "Okay, we'll help you." He said, "No, I don't need your help." He had his two arms. He took the kancha and he was doing the Abhishek. No arms. I can't figure out how he does this. No arms, and he's doing Abhishek.
Those puja, they would put oil on the hands of the devotees from that small flower.
And he was putting oil on the devotees' hands. Amazing. So when you see people like that, then you feel like, what am I doing, you know? I have everything, and still, I can't do it. I can't make it. But when you see people like that, you think, wow, such an inspiration. So Vritrasura is also no arms, and he's fighting. He's still fighting to the death. So this devotee, he has no arms, and he's the best book distributor, and he's so enthusiastic. What enthusiasm you can see in that devotee. So at this point, we're almost in the middle, or actually we're past the middle of the 6th canto. So it's nice to review. At this point, Virajan gives a little review of what we've learned so far, and it's all about Poshana. So Ajamila, what was protected of Ajamila? The holy name, that was who protected him. So who protected? The holy name projected Ajamila, in which, what did Ajamila have that he protected? Is the question. Yes, he was protected from going to hell, but what he protected was his bhakti. And this is the protection that we're going to find. His bhakti was protected. Ajamila. Just like Vritashir, we'll see now in 14, chapters 14 through 17, how his bhakti was protected. That is what we want to be protected. Not so much our body. Of course, it's really hard when you're suffering. I had this boil still, and I was looking at the boil and suffering so much pain, I was thinking, Tate Nukampan Susmeja. Really hard not to pray, okay, Krishna, do something. Anyway, yeah. So pray. So next pastime after that is Daksha. So he was saved by who? Narada Muni. Narada Muni had a desire to save Daksha. So then Indra, Brijam Prabhu says, Indra is used to show difficulties that come when one keeps some selfish desires in one's heart. So who saved Indra?
Vritashra.
Good. So Indra had service to do. He had to rule the heavenly planets. He was a Sakam devotee, a demigod. So did he get... Now we're seeing he killed Vritashra and all these sinful reactions are going to come. So is it a fact that Indra was doing his service as a demigod, trying to keep order in the universe, and because he was doing his service, he got sinful reactions? Is that a fact? Yes?
According to your surrender, we have some like false ego.
False
even
ego.
Though we are doing some service, because of our selfish motivation, we get to sin.
Okay, so you say that his false ego, his selfish desires caused him to get reactions. Okay, what do you say?
Actually, first, this situation by killing his family, like he got entangled slowly into this situation. At first he offended Guru, then he got another priest and
first he offended his guru, then he got another guru, he killed him, and then... So what? How he did his service, you know, so we also have to think like that, you know, some... We do our service, but how do we do our service? Do we step on other people's feet, you know, to get to the front, or do we, you know, we have to think sometimes... Who do we offend in the name of service? Yes?
Kampata, he is giving results of his activity to the Lord, but not everything.
Okay, the Sakam Bhakta, he's giving results, but not everything. Something for me, something for the Lord.
So, Ramayana, he wants to keep for himself, let he'll be responsible for that result.
So how much he wants to keep for himself, then he's responsible. He has to suffer for that. Patri?
It seems that also
Kanishka Bhakta?
Because Kanishka Bhakta is only me and Krishna.
Yes, Kanishka Bhakta, his vision is only me and Krishna, or me and my Guru Maharaj.
In this case, he didn't care.
So in this case, he didn't care. Okay. So we'll go on now, verse 2. Thereafter, the demigods, great saintly persons, inhabitants of Pitri Loka and Bhuta Loka, demons, followers of the demigods also, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, demigods subordinate to Indra, all returned to their respective homes. While departing, however, no one spoke to Indra. So just see. Indra did his service, and it's quite interesting. Let's see what happened before. Even now, Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "Oh, great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this." When he killed Vritashra, all the demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? And why didn't they speak to him? Verse paragraph 2 in the purport. Herein is clearly indicated, a person who is not at all demoniac, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, may outwardly be a demon or be born in a family of demons. Therefore, in terms of real culture, one should not be considered a demigod or demon simply according to birth. So that's just what we were discussing. In his dealings, while fighting with Indra, Vritashra proved himself a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, as soon as he finished fighting with Indra and was apparently killed, Vritashra was transferred to Vaikuntha Loka to become an associate of Sankarshan. Indra knew this. Therefore, he was morose at having killed such a demon who is actually a Vaishnava or Brahman. A Vaishnava is already a Brahman, although a Brahman may not be a Vaishnava. So this is, previously we were having a discussion, what is the difference between Brahman and Vaishnava? So here Prabhupada is giving us some information. Parma Purana says, one may be a Brahmin in terms of his culture and family and may be expert in Vedic knowledge, mantra tantra visharada, but if he is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. So now we see many Brahmins who don't even know the Vedas and the Shastras and the mantras. But even if they do know the mantras, here it said, he cannot be guru if he's not a Vaishnava. This means that an expert Brahmin may not be a Vaishnava, but a Vaishnava is already a Brahmin. A millionaire may very easily possess hundreds and thousands of dollars, but a person with hundreds and thousands of dollars is not necessarily a millionaire. Vritashira was a perfect Vaishnava, and therefore he was also a Brahmin. So there is a misconception here about who is. Some people have a misconception about Vaishnavas, who are especially if they're not born in Brahmin families. So in Sanskrit, does anybody know a verse that talks about this or defeats it? There is a verse in Bhagavatam.
Third canto.
Aho bata shapacho togriyan. Okay, yeah, those two verses. That's good. There's another one at the end of 10th canto. Vaishnave jati bhuti. Vaishnave jati bhuti. The people, they think that a Vaishnava is in a certain caste, or according to her. Vaishnave jati bhuti.
If they think like this, then Madhi is Naraka.
Then Naraka. If they think like this, then they're living in Naraka, it says. So Prabhupada, in many lectures and many verses, he talks about this. I just have a few here. That Prabhupada says that Brahmin means goodness, and wherever you will find goodness, that is Brahminism. So the American European boys, when they have developed their quality of goodness, Krishna consciousness, they are Brahmins. So he said this is the one example. And if they are considered lechas and yavanas, narakiya bhuti. Vaishnave jati bhuti. Okay? Yes?
It seems to be the story is a kshatriya. He's fighting.
He's fighting, yes. That happens.
What's the mistake of Indra defending him when he's a cat?
Because, well, he's looking at him as a Brahmin, because he's seeing he's born as a Brahmin.
He has no choice. He's there. The demon is on his following, he's fighting. But it's just self-defense.
Yes, but he's acting like a kshatriya, but he's preaching like a Brahmin.
Yes. That's self-defense. Even in Brahmin attacks, you're supposed to defend yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's true. In defense of Indra, yeah, he's self-defense. Okay, that's true. And he's doing his duty, and he's doing his devotional service.
Not doing it would be wrong, according to Vritashira.
Yes. Actually, Vritashira told him to do it too. I mean, on top of it, his enemy is saying, kill me, fight me. Yes.
The argument between Yudhishthira and
Arjuna.
Yudhishthira and Krishna himself. There is when Aswatthama did mistake.
Argument between Yudhishthira and Krishna.
Arjuna.
Oh yes, that in first canto. Some were saying kill him, some were saying spare him.
Even Brahmana did mistake also, he should not attack him.
Okay, so Aswatthama was a Brahmin but he was acting like a Kshatriya as well. And he not only is Kshatriya, he was lowered, he was breaking the rules. He was killing children. And he broke the rules of the Kshatriya even, which is very low. But still, he was spared. He was not.
Well, but he stopped fighting. See, if Vritashira stopped fighting, those are having lost his two arms. All right. Spare him now. But he kept on spreading.
Yeah, he kept on fighting. Yes. Indra will be very pleased with you. Yes. We want to please Indra because I think we did the opposite. Yes.
During the fight between Vritashira and Indra, Indra at least two times, I noticed when he was feeling himself defeated and not ready to fight anymore. So when Vritashira caught his
Twice Indra didn't feel like fighting, when Vritashira caught his club and when when he dropped his thunderbolt.
Actually, he already felt himself defeated. And for Kshatriya, it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, he already felt really defeated, and he was ashamed of himself.
Twice he was ashamed, and the only reason why he continued fight, because Vritrasura himself inspired him, so that winning against Vritrasura was not at all glorious for him as for Kshatriya, because it was not his glorious fight.
Yeah, it was not glorious. Vritrasura was encouraging him to fight and kill him. And so it was not a very... And so now he's not happy. So this particular purport is explaining how you cannot... you cannot judge a Vaishnava by his birth or external features. Did anybody have that experience that you saw somebody who was a devotee and before you heard them speak, you had some certain ideas about them? But then when you saw their behavior, you know, you thought, oh, you get ashamed of yourself.
Pundarik
Vidyaniti. That's what I'm talking about, ISKCON, yeah? Yeah, personal application. Okay, Pundarik, that's a good one, Pundarik Vidyaniti. Who? The Queens of Dwarka? Ashtavakramuni with the Queens of Dwarka. They were making fun of him.
That's why they got kidnapped.
And they got kidnapped because of that, yes?
Once
Brijan
came to Moscow?
When
Brijan
came to Moscow?
In 1996. And I was asked to be his servant.
You were asked to be his servant.
And I didn't know him at all.
Didn't know him?
I knew a few words in English only. And he stayed and then fled next to the temple.
Right.
And I was his, coming to him and bringing some prasadam and this and that. So, and he was behaving very, very humble way. He was asking me blessings. He was always apologizing in front of me.
And so you were serving Brijan, you were bringing him prasad, and he was asking your blessings. And
so it was such a friend. I said so much friendship from him. I understood that I can behave with him on an equal level. Like
so you thought, okay, I can behave with an equal level like friends.
Yeah. Nice, kind and
very
nice
kind.
And, yeah. So, and then we were joking and I was asking him blessings, he was asking me blessings. So in this way, we came to the temple room for his first class.
So you were asking his blessings, he was asking your blessings, and you came to the temple for his class.
And he started to give class. I was sitting in the temple room. When he started to speak, and then I saw how he melt hearts of everyone. I understood that I'm offended, and I felt like I want to disappear, and never.
So when he started speaking, you saw how he melted everyone's hearts, and you realized how you were offended and you wanted to disappear.
Yeah, then I thought that it's finished with my spiritual
life. You thought your spiritual life is finished?
But then I had to take him back to the flat.
And you took him back to the flat.
And I felt myself like the same thing like Arjuna was telling to Krishna on the battlefield, that forgive me for calling me
So then you were saying, I'm sorry, forgive me for being so familiar and calling you.
Yeah, but then again he turned from great speaker, Srimad Bhagavatam, he turned in my friend. I just started to ask forgiveness and this, but I didn't believe it anymore. So I kept the distance and I didn't.
That time you didn't do it. You didn't fall for it. That time. Okay. So these things happen. I have one example here of one Mataji in Mayapur. Her name is Bhava Priya. And she is just an ordinary devotee. You wouldn't think anything about her. She was from Australia or New Zealand, somewhere over there. I think Australia. Australia. She's American. She lived in Australia. Very simple lady. And she came to Mayapur to die. And so she was asking the devotees, you know, I came here to die, but actually I don't think I'm ready. I don't know, what am I going to do in the spiritual world? You know, I don't understand what I'm going to do. And somebody said, well, what are you doing here? She says, oh, I cook for the devotees. She said, yeah, okay, you can cook for the devotees there. She said, oh, that sounds great. Okay, no problem. Very nice. So then she started to die one day, and she was on her bed. And Anandamanjari came in, my god sister, And so nobody was there with her, and Nanda Manjari was talking to her, and so Baba Priya was saying, "I'm dying, what do I do?" And Nanda Manjari was preaching to her, "Oh, you know, it's just like giving birth. You know, you had children, right?" She said, "Yeah, I did that. It's hard, right?"
"Yeah."
"But then you make it." "Oh yeah, okay, just like that, no problem." So then she started, Nanda Manjari, she's a devotee of Nityananda, so she started describing the glories of Nityananda to this simple lady. And she said, "He likes simple people like you. He'll be very merciful to you. Don't worry." So then, just after 2-3 hours, she just left her body suddenly after hearing the glories of Nityananda. And then, just at that time, Rachitambara, my god sister, had come from Ekachakra, which is the birthplace of Nityananda, and she said, "I brought a garland for you from Nityananda." But she had just left, and she just put the garland on her from Nityananda. And then they had a big festival, and all the Mayapur devotees came. They went to the Ganga, and everyone, they were chanting and dancing, and everyone was feeling great ecstasy. And they didn't know why, but they were feeling great happiness, so I heard. And when they were burning her body at the Ganga, a double rainbow came on top of her body. A double, two rainbows. I saw one double rainbow one time. You've seen one rainbow and then another one, two together. So they came on top of her body. And then some very light rain came. And then it was over. And so after that, all the devotees, you know, class after class, they were glorifying this devotee. They didn't know who she was, but somehow all of them felt great ecstasy when she left, and seeing that she went back to Godhead. So you don't know who among us is actually a great devotee. You can't tell by external appearances. And so verse 4. So now we get back to the story. When all the demigods came to ask Indra to kill Vritishira, Indra, however, being afraid... Whoops, I did my summary. When all the great sages and demigods were disturbed by the extraordinary power of Vritishira, they had assembled to ask Indra to kill him. Indra, however, being afraid of killing a Brahmin, declined their request. So see, before they're all saying, "Please come and kill the demon," and then after they don't talk to him. Just see. Even in the heavenly planets, this happens. Yeah. King Indra replied, "When I killed Vishwarup, I received extensive sinful reactions, but I was favored by the women, land, trees, and water. Therefore, I was able to divide the sin among them. But now, if I kill Vritrasura, another Brahmin, how shall I free myself from the sinful reactions? The women, land, trees, and water aren't going to do that again." Shishukadeva Goswami said, "Hearing this, the great sages replied to King Indra, 'Oh, King of Heaven, all good fortune to you. Do not fear. We shall perform an ashwamedha sacrifice to release you from any sin you may accrue by killing the Brahmin.' The rishis continued, 'O King Indra, by performing an ashwamedha sacrifice, thereby pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a supersoul, nor Lord Narayan, the Supreme Controller, one can be relieved even of the sinful reactions for killing the entire world, not to speak of killing a demon like Vritrasura. One who has killed a Brahmin, one who has killed a cow, or one who has killed his father, mother, or spiritual master, can be immediately free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayan. Other sinful persons, such as dog-eaters and chandalas who are less than shudras, can also be freed in this way. But you are a devotee, and we shall help you by performing the great course sacrifice. If you please Lord Narayan in that way, why should you be afraid? You will be freed even if you kill the entire universe, including the Brahmins, not to speak of killing a disturbing demon like Vritrasura." So what advice the Brahmins are giving to Indra? Is this nam aparat? Or is this some kind of aparat? Brahmin aparat? You kill a Brahmin on the strength of ashwamedha sacrifice? Sounds like some sort of... It is said, let's see, Prabhupada, I think that's what Prabhupada says. Said in Ritad Vishnupurana, "Nam Naviyavati Shakti Papani Rani Maritava Kachin Shaknanti Patakam Patakinara." Also in Prema Vivarta by Jagannanda Pandit, it is said, Ekadishaname kapi jatapatskaya pahajame shekha pikvarite nara. This means that by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be free from the reactions of more sins that he can ever even imagine performing. The holy name is so spiritually potent, simply by chanting the holy name, one can be free from reactions to all sinful activities. So, you can go and kill the Brahmin, no problem. Just chant the holy name. Go and kill Vritrasura. You go and do it. What then is to be said of those who chant the holy name regularly or worship the deity regularly? For such purified devotees, freedom from sinful reaction is certainly assured. Here comes the catch. This does not mean, however, one should intentionally commit sinful acts and think himself free from the reactions because he's chanting the holy name. Such a mentality is the most abominable offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. Namno balat yasyahi papabhuti. The Lord's holy name certainly has the potency to neutralize all sinful activities. But if one repeatedly and intentionally commits sins while chanting the holy name, he is most condemned. So yes, it's namaparad. So what is this? What did Prabhupada say is namaparad here? What is namaparad? Two words. Intentionally and?
Repeatedly.
Committing sins while chanting the holy name. Intentionally, doing it on purpose, and repeatedly. So that means if you don't do it intentionally, if it's by accident, and if you don't do it repeatedly, then it's not an offense. Sometimes you may fall down, but it's not an offense to the holy name. And who is the example of that? That is Jamila. Purport, last paragraph. Herein the sages encourage King Indra to kill Vritrasura even at the risk of Brahmahatya, killing of a Brahmin. And they guarantee to release him from sinful reactions by performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. Such purposely devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. This will be seen from the following verse. So purposely devised atonement. So this is in the sages. There they were before. They said, come on, don't worry, we'll do the sacrifice. And after, they went home and didn't talk to him. They just left. They're not going to take the sinful reaction. So in one purport, second canto, fourth chapter, verse 15, Srila Prabhupada explains how to prevent committing this particular offense of sinning on the strength of chanting. And he says it in one word. There is one word, something you can do to prevent committing sins on the strength of chanting. What is that one word? Easy word.
Repentance?
No, but that's good also. Repentance means you did something and then you're sorry, but this is before you do it. So something to do so you won't do it. Sincerity?
Concept.
Service?
Concept.
Consult? Service is the closest thing so far. Bhakti? Which service? Which? Surrender, but which of the nine processes?
Hearing.
It's hearing. Prabhupada says 2.4.15, the mentality of committing sins willfully in the strength of devotional service is the greatest offense and discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins. So hearing. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says. Prabhupada gives another example of sinning on the strength of chanting. Oh. He says, this is in a lecture in London, on the strength of Bhagavad Gita, if one wants to prove his foolish philosophy, that is a great offense. So sinning, if you interpret Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that's sinning on the strength of chanting. Sinning on the strength of Bhagavad Gita. Yes.
I have a question. Since Indra was given this advice.
Yeah, advice. He followed the advice of the Brahmins.
Yeah, but this was also not just semi, but sages and Brahmins.
Sages, yeah. Sages gave him.
Was it their mistake, let's say?
So do they get the responsibility? It would seem so. They would get something as well. But they didn't get it. Indra got everything. He got all the sinful reaction. So they must have got the reaction in some other way. Subtle way. Anyway, but they will do the Ashwamedha for him. So that's a lot of trouble as well. Yes?
Bali Maharaj, he was Shukracharya when he gave the wrong advice.
Yeah. Bali Maharaj rejected Shukracharya when he gave the wrong advice, but Indra didn't. Indra accepted.
That's why Indra got it.
So Indra got it. Verse 10. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, encouraged by the words of the sages, Indra killed Uttasura. And when he was killed, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmin, Ramahatya, certainly took shelter of Indra. Purport. After killing Uttasura, there must be 400, huh?
Yeah.
420?
440.
240.
No, 440
is maximum. 440. Look. Nrisingadeva. And because Nrisingadeva came, I hope nothing, nobody's... Take off the phone. The yes, computers are okay in this... they're off. Everybody's computers are disconnected. Huh? Good thing. All right. So, yes, the Nrisingadeva is here, so anything can happen. We have very bright effulgence today. Yeah. So, purport, after killing Uttasura, Indra could not surpass the Brahmahatya sinful reactions for killing a Brahmin. Formerly, he had killed one Brahmin, Vishwarup, out of circumstantial anger. But this time, following the advice of the sages, he killed another Brahmin purposely. Therefore, sinful reaction was greater than before. Indra could not be relieved from the reaction simply by performing sacrifices for atonement. He had to undergo a severe series of sinful reactions. And when he was freed by such suffering, the Brahmanas allowed him to perform a horse sacrifice. I always wondered, what is that severe series of sinful reactions that he had to suffer?
He had to go 1 year into the 1 year.
Day. Yeah, more than 1 year.
Into the
1,000 years. Yeah. Oh, I guess that's enough suffering just to live in the stem of a lotus.
He
was starving, yeah.
He was fed.
Yeah, that we'll hear about.
Okay,
that's... See, just see. Anyway, I'll just keep the light off.
Okay,
Indra is not happy again. Okay.
You just forgot maybe about this event.
Yeah, anyway, it's coming in the verses. The planned execution of sinful deeds and the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord or undergoing Paischita atonement cannot give relief to anyone, even to Indra or Nahusha, so we should not think about it. Nahusha was officiating for Indra, while Indra, absent from heaven, was going here and there to gain release from his sinful reactions. Okay, so Ajamila, was he doing Namaparat? Was he doing sinning on the strength, which seems like? No? Namavas. Why?
Because he didn't try to come to act. His offenses were...
Okay. He didn't have the purpose of sinning and counteracting the sins. And he didn't know he was even chanting, actually. He was completely unconscious. Verse 11. Following the advice of the demigods, Indra killed Uttasura, and he suffered because of this sinful killing. Although the other demigods were happy, he could not derive happiness from the killing of Uttasura. So if someone else tells you to do it, don't do it, because you'll get the reaction and they won't. Indra's other good qualities, such as tolerance and opulence, could not help him in his grief. Purport. One cannot be happy by committing sinful acts, even if one is endowed with material opulence. Indra found this to be true. People began to blaspheme him, saying, "This person has killed a Brahmin for the sake of enjoying heavenly material happiness. Therefore, in spite of being king of heaven and enjoying material opulence, Indra was always unhappy because of the accusations of the populace." So he was surrounded by his opulence, still he was not happy. He still had his place. Verse 12, but not for long. Verse 12 and 13. Indra saw personified sinful reaction chasing him, appearing like a Chandala woman, a woman of the lowest class. She seemed very old, and all the limbs of her body trembled. Because she was afflicted with tuberculosis, her body and garments were covered with blood. Breathing an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street, she called to Indra, "Wait! Wait! O king!" Just imagine someone like that was chasing you.
They are not sick and old people there.
Huh?
This case is very rare.
Yeah, this is rare. They don't have old sick people there, but this one, she defied everything. Did anybody ever see personified sinful reactions chasing you? Actually, I had one dream where a cow was eating me. So I thought, oh, it's maybe because I ate meat before I was a devotee. So then now the cow is eating me. It wasn't painful, but still. Sometimes, anyway, Indra had this experience. Okay. Indra first fled to the sky, but there also he saw the woman of personified sin chasing him. This witch followed him wherever he went. At last he very quickly went to the northeast and entered the Manasa Sarovar Lake, always thinking of how he could be relieved from the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmin. King Indra, invisible to everyone, lived in the lake for 1,000 years in the subtle fibers of the stem of a lotus. The fire god used to bring him his share of all yajnas, but because the fire god was afraid to enter the water, Indra was practically starving. So he was suffering quite a bit. Just imagine, instead of being surrounded by opulence, you're living in the stem of a lotus. A very austere life. Very austere after being king of heaven. Now you're living in the stem of a lotus. And starving, fasting for 1,000 years. 1,000 years fasting. Yes, Patri.
Remind
you
of
who?
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein, yeah.
And he was in the cave. He
was in a cave. Yeah, I don't know all the history.
Underground
cave. He was hiding. Yes, he was hiding because he knew they wanted to catch him.
And then whatever has happened, the war happened. And they bombed his palace and they stole his golden birds and everything.
So they bombed his palace and took all his gold and...
It was like such an opulence.
Very opulence, yeah.
And then, hard to imagine that this person was staying as a rat underground.
So you're staying like a rat in the cave after that. Yeah, so just imagine, from riches to rags in this life. You don't know. Verse 16. Well, of course, the sinful reactions got him. He could not escape sinful reactions, even in this life. Yes?
Actually, 1,000 years of prosperity is not a big problem for those who relish freedom or sense control by performing austerities. But Indra was not performing purification austerity. He was just out of fear, hiding.
Yes, so he making the point that 1,000 years of austerities is not difficult for someone who is
a yogi trying to control
his mind. But for someone who's used to sense gratification, this is really suffering.
He was experiencing continuous fear.
Continuous fear. Out of fear, he was hiding in the stem of a lotus. Yes.
Either voluntarily or forcibly. Yes. Actually, voluntarily, Brahma doing austerity for 1,000 years.
Yes.
He's
forcibly doing austerity.
Like some karmis, sometimes devotees are fasting, but karmis, they are forcibly, doctor are like, don't do it.
Yes.
Either voluntarily.
So this is voluntarily, or if you don't do it voluntarily, then you'll be forced. Yes. Anyway, that's true.
Better voluntarily.
If you don't voluntarily stop eating too many sweets, then you'll be forced to. Get a boil. Yes, I've learned from my personal experience. Verse 16. As long as King Indra lived in the water, wrapped in the stem of a lotus, Nahusha was equipped with the ability to rule the heavenly kingdom due to his knowledge, austerity, and mystic power. Nahusha, however, blinded and maddened by power and opulence, made undesirable proposals to Indra's wife with a desire to enjoy her. Thus, Nahusha was cursed by a Brahmin and later became a snake. So Prabhupada, actually the story goes like this, that Sachi Devi went first Nahusha was going after Sashidevi, so she was upset. So she went to visit Indra, and she knew where he was. And she went and talked to him and asked him, what should I do? He was in the stem of the lotus. And so Indra advised her, you tell Nahusha to come. You're ready to see him. But he must come in a special, special palanquin or carrier carried by thousands of rishis, Brahma rishis. They must be his carriers. So he knew what was going to happen if he did that. And Nahusha said, yeah, why not? I am the king of heaven. And so he got in a carrier, palanquin, and he got these Brahmins, big Brahmins, Agastya. And then he kicked Agastya, and he was cursed to become a snake. So I have Mahabharata here. And this he became a huge snake. And at one point, when he was falling down, then he said, oh, please save me. He said to Agastya. Agastya said, yes, when you meet King Yudhisthira, then you will be saved. So what happened was Bhima was going out in the forest, and on his way, Bhima was knocking off, uprooting the trees for fun, and taking off all the branches, stripping the branches, killing lions, killing elephants. And but then he went to this cave, and this huge snake caught him. And even though Bhima was so strong, the snake had a benediction that even if someone stronger than you gets caught by you, you will be able to subdue him. So then he got caught by the snake, and so then Yudhisthira saw some inauspicious signs, and when he saw that, then he realized Bhima was not there. So he started to follow his path, which was very easy to follow, all the broken trees and the dead lions, thousands of lions and elephants and whatever were dead. He followed his path, and he got to this cave, and he saw Bhima in the clutches of this snake, huge snake, like a mountain it's described, snake as big as a mountain. This was Nahusha. So then Nahusha said, if you answer my questions, then I will let Bhima go. So then they had a very nice discussion on Atma Tattva, and he was very happy. And one of the questions was what we were discussing today about who is a Brahmin, and it's not by birth. But Maharaj Yudhisthira answered that question. So then Yudhisthira asked Nahusha, how could such an exalted personality as yourself become overwhelmed by illusion and fall from heaven? So Nahusha replied, O king, you should know for certain that prosperity acts as a powerful intoxicant upon the conditioned soul, even if he happens to be a very wise or heroic personality. Thus, by association with great opulence, even a man of discrimination gradually loses his good intelligence and falls down. After being awarded the post of Indra, I soon became very proud. Just imagine, I was always being served hand and foot by the Brahmarshis, the demigods, Yakshas, Gandharvas, and Apsaras. I was so powerful, any person upon whom my gaze fell would become diminished in prowess. So he would just look at somebody and they would lose their power. This is Nahusha. At my command, thousands of Brahmarshis once pulled my chariot, and while going, I happened to touch the great sage Agastya with my foot. Becoming enraged because of this offense, the Rishi cursed me to fall from heaven and accept this horrible body of a snake. As I proceeded to fall toward the earth, I begged Agastya Muni for forgiveness, so he kindly informed me I would be delivered by meeting you. So this is, O Yudhisthira, your answers to my questions were quite correct, so I must thank you very much for your mercy upon me. It is the possession of brahminical qualities and not birth in a Brahmin's family that is the cause of salvation. So then he gave up his snake body and went back to heaven when he met Yudhisthira. Well, the page numbers are going to change, but it's in Vanaparva. Vanaparva of Mahabharata. Yes. Won't be the same page number because this book's out of print. But it's going to be reprinted. So this is what happened to Nahusha. Verse 17. Indra's sins were diminished by the influence of Rudra, the demigod of all directions. So he did get somebody helped him. Indra, in this case, Rudra. Rudra helped Indra. Because Indra was protected by the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu's wife, who resides in the lotus clusters of Manasasarovar Lake, Indra's sins cannot affect him. So he got protection from Lakshmi and from Rudra. Indra was ultimately relieved of all the reactions of his sinful deeds by strictly worshipping Lord Vishnu. So then at the same time he was doing puja in the stem of the lotus, worshipping Vishnu, or maybe he was chanting mantras to worship Vishnu, something. Then he was called back to the heavenly planets by the Brahmins and reinstated in his position. O King, when Lord Indra reached the heavenly planets, the saintly Brahmins approached him and properly initiated him into a horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna, meant to please the Supreme Lord. Verse 19 and 20. The horse sacrifice performed by the saintly Brahmins relieved Indra of the reactions to all his sins because he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that sacrifice. O King, although he had committed a gravely sinful act, it was nullified at once by that sacrifice, just as fog is vanquished by the brilliant sunrise. King Indra was favored by Marichi and the other great sages. They performed the sacrifice just according to the rules and regulations, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Super Soul, the original person. Thus Indra regained his exalted position and was again honored by everyone. In this great, very great narrative, there is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. There are statements about the exaltedness of devotional service. There are descriptions of devotees like Indra and Vidrashara, and there are statements about King Indra's release from sinful life and about his victory in fighting the demons. By understanding this incident, one is relieved of all sinful reactions. Therefore, the learned are always advised to read this narration. If one does so, one will become expert in the activities of the senses. Who is that benediction for? Who wants to become expert in the activities of the senses? Indra?
Daksha?
Karmakandis? You know what I saw here? Shudras. Then the next one is for Vaishyas. His opulence will increase. Vaishyas. His reputation will become widespread. So Kshatriyas, they like to be famous. One will also be relieved of all sinful reactions. He will conquer his enemies, Kshatriyas. Duration of his life will increase. Because this narration is auspicious in all respects, learned scholars regularly hear and repeat it on every festival day. So something for everyone, if you hear this Leela of Vidrashara. So one statement, one sentence in this verse got me. By understanding this incident, one is relieved of all sinful reactions. So what I want to know is what we have understood, what lessons we have learned from this particular Leela of Vidrashara. So that's the question I'm asking you, is what lessons have we learned here? What to do, what not to do? Yes?
Bhakti is independent.
Bhakti is independent, very good. Yes? The root cause of all the trial and tribulation is Guru Aparad. Yes? When the sages advised Indra to kill a Brahmin,
but
sure.
They were not really eager to take reactions.
But they didn't want to take the reactions, of course.
So it's similar to...
Okay, so then this is Narada Muni is this similarly preaching to Mrigari, and Mrigari was half killing the animals, and Narada showed how he's going to suffer his sinful reactions. He says, why are you half killing the animals? He says, so for my wife and children. So Narada said, well, go ask your wife if
Valmiki.
She will...
This is not Mrigari, Valmiki.
Valmiki?
Yeah. This is Valmiki.
Acha?
Valmiki is stealing, he's a robber.
Okay, maybe also Valmiki. Also
Mrigari is not with the connection with his family. He's just telling you will suffer.
I thought he had family. No
because
family.
Of his sinful reaction. But Valmiki is...
Okay, he's saying that this is referring to Valmiki instead of Mrigari. Have you heard it in reference to Mrigari? Okay, Valmiki. Okay, it could be Mrigari or it could be Valmiki, but the principle is the same. So what did she say?
Wife said no.
Wife said, no, I'm not going to go to hell with you and take your reactions.
So then he
left the sinful activity.
Indra was in the worst case.
Well, Indra was the worst case. Why was he in the worst case?
Because he did something and got reactions.
Yes, he purposely did it, knowing that it was sinful, and he got the reaction. He already did it once before, and he got the reaction, and now he's doing it again, and he'll get the reaction. He got the reaction. Okay, anything else we learn? In lessons we learn. There's a great danger of planning to be relieved from sinful activities, sinning and planning. Planning to sin and be relieved.
Mm-hmm. What is instruction to give?
Okay, you would have advised Indra to check it with Sadhu and Shastra. He got the Sadhu's order, and Guru wasn't there, so the only Sadhu, not Shastra. He should have checked with Guru and Shastra before he did it. Yes?
If you have the blessings of a Mahatma, you have a happy end.
If you have the blessings of a Mahatma, you have a happy end. Okay, Narada Muni's Angira Angira gave blessings to Chitraketu, so he'll have a happy ending, even though he's Vritrasura. Yes. Okay. So he learned a lesson that devotional service on the level of Sakam is not as good as that on the level of Nishkam.
Many complications.
And why? Many complications. If you want things for yourself, then you will get things that you didn't want. Yes. That's a fact. It's better to be Nishkam, but it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder, especially when it comes to the test. When you really have to, when you're being tested. Are you Sakam or are you going to be Nishkam or are you going to be Sakam in this situation? And then your nature, you'll, no, help, Krishna. Yes.
Devotees are very peaceful, even in the lightest, like Vritrasura, like, peacefully advising all the
So devotees are very peaceful in the battlefield, like Vritrasura, not disturbed, unagitated. This is what struck Indra, actually. He says, what strikes me is that you're so undisturbed, unagitated, and you have such determination to be a devotee. That's the qualities that struck Indra, actually. Samachita, yes. Vimanyava, Samachita, Suvida, Sada. Yes, that is the qualities of a Mahatma. Hey, anything else? Yes.
The material desires, if they are mixed with devotional service, they make them unfortunate.
So if you have material desires and you're a devotee, it's very dangerous because these desires may blind you even if the Lord Himself appears, like before Daksha He appeared and before Indra He appeared. But they just wanted something material. So it blinds you to your real self-interest if you have these desires. Even the Lord may appear to you, and then what will you ask Him? If the Lord were actually to appear, what would you ask? Many times, yeah. They don't see Him with the eyes of love. So, yes. Yeah, He did please the Lord with His prayers. And then He pleased them at the end, and He was relieved of all His sinful reactions. Yes. But what a suffering in between. Okay, oh, I don't know. In South India, they use the stem of a lotus in the marriage ceremony.
No, not marriage ceremony. Like
engagement. Engagement. Okay. If you desire to have a husband or wife.
Husband.
Oh, for a husband. Then they use the stem of the
lotus. Yes, and Mahalakshmi is blessed.
Yes, Mahalakshmi is there. Just because we're following Krishna's program doesn't mean that we don't get trouble.
Indra did what Vishnu wanted, but he got all the troubles.
He did what Vishnu wanted, but he got all the troubles.
No.
Yes? No?
No, actually.
No, he says no. Yeah, Vishnu chastised Indra. He said, you should pray for pure devotional service. Why are you asking for this material things? He was trying to teach him. He was trying also Vritrasura. He sent Vritrasura to teach him. Mm. So the problems came not because of serving Krishna, but because of his selfish desires. Yes. Okay, you're wondering why. Well, he wasn't completely purified. The question was, why did they have to do the Ashwamedha Yajna? Wasn't he purified just being in the lotus?
Because he intentionally sinned.
Yeah, he intentionally sinned, so how could he, you know, get purified by the atonement? That's the question of the horse sacrifice.
I think this question is also raised by Yudhishthira
Maharaj. Yudhisthira, yeah, exactly. In the first canto, Yudhisthira said the same thing, you know, how can you purify, what is that?
Wine bottle using wine or something.
How can you purify a wine bottle? It's already stained. How can you purify one karma with another karma? That was what Yudhisthira said.
One killing to another killing, you're killing the other.
It doesn't burn the seeds of desires.
So actually, Yudhisthira, he got purified by hearing Bhishma's instructions. But at the same time, they did the Ashwamedha sacrifice. So in this case also, he got purified by, you know, suffering in the lake. But also, he had to do that. That was because the Brahmins said also, you have to follow the Brahmins. Yes, Sankirtan?
It says here that he got purified by strictly worshipping Lord.
Yes, he got purified by strictly worshipping Lord Vishnu. But at the same time, he had to do the fire. The
Ashwamedha.
Yeah, he couldn't even do the yajna. He was too sinful to do the yajna. Yeah. And then when he became a little purified, then he was eligible. Otherwise, he couldn't even do the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Yeah. Jiva Goswami, Hari Bhav.
7-9,
he quotes. Okay, Brahmanas are saying, by kirtan of the Lord, one becomes purified.
That's the name of the Lord.
Okay, so what to speak of the yajna in which one again and again chants the name of the Lord. This is verse 8 and 9. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that as being the demons also went. Yeah, they were there.
The question is simply, where are they at home?
Down in lower planets. Sutala.
So they, but the rest, they have all Nasa, Nasas down there.
No, yeah, some of them. But they can change their bodies also. They can change.
But the question also, how would they travel from down there to the heavenly planets?
Yeah, well, they have mystic powers. The 96, remember, 96 types of mystic powers down there.
So it's not nearby the Swarga planets. They're really down there.
They're down, yeah. Ever since the time of Bali Maharaj, the demons are living down, underneath. Bhumandala. In the various levels, especially, yeah, all of the levels. It's described Maya, Bala, and then Bali Maharaj.
They're parallel, living side to side, like parallel.
No, they're down there. They're down in lower planets. But there's different ways to get up. One is the universal highway, the Ganga, the whatever rivers flow down there, they can go that way. But they have mystic powers. They have. The demons have all these kind of mystic powers. Otherwise, what would they be, how they get up to the heavenly planets? Sometimes they get up if there's a flaw. They're just waiting for a flaw. And here they found a flaw in Indra. He disrespected. Yeah, then they stay there. If they get power of Shukracharya, by the power of Shukracharya, then they can go up. But then actually, this was actually before Bali Maharaj, so. Could be they were somewhere else. I don't know where they lived. But after Bali Maharaj, then they had to go down. Okay, his question is, the demigods are living on yajnas, but there's no Brahmins, there's no yajnas in Kali Yuga, so how are the demigods living? That is the question.
And a long time is?
Long time since
864 years.
864 years they have to live in demigod time. Demigod time? Patri, you had your hand up first. Yajna Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumedha.
Only this yuga, nothing, all Kali Yugas.
All the other ones, it's the Yuga Dharma for every Kali Yuga.
Still only for 10,000 years, not about the other 400,000 years.
Okay, so he's satisfied with that answer for this 10,000 years, and what's going to happen after Patri? It can be derived from chanting only once Govinda's name.
Cannot be even equal to the amount of punya. Which can be created by donating thousands of cows and Surya.
Cannot be equal to the amount of punya by donating thousands of cows. So you think they're going to live on it? Yeah, he's okay. So Patri says the 10,000 years will be enough for the whole Kali Yuga. If we chant for 10,000 years, they'll be charged, they'll be fat, and then they don't have to worry for the rest. Bank account, yes, they are charging for 10,000 years and they will live on that for the rest of Kali Yuga. Sankirtan?
Another option.
Another option? Okay. We're open. Eight Vashas are there, yes. Bhoma Svarga. Prahlad is living on one of those. Well, the elements are not on the Varshas, they're on the different islands besides Jambudvipa. There's forms of the Lord in the Varshas. Only Bharad Varsha is feeling it and not the rest. Is that correct, Adi Purush? You agree with it? There's a comment where? By who? Okay, he brought it up. There was a comment that only in Bharat Varsh is Kali Yuga experience. The demigods don't experience Kali Yuga. What about Bhoma Svarga? How about they also? Okay, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on 5.19.19. Only Bharat Varsha, what does it say? You're translating. The four yugas are present only in Bharat Varsha.
Same is stated also in Padma Purana.
Same is stated in Padma Purana. Okay, only in Bharat Varsha do they suffer. The demigods don't experience Kali Yuga. But his point was, what about their eating?
Yes.
The yogis are here. Right, right. Other people are doing it. They don't have to depend on Bharat Varsha. Right. So the on the other dweeps, they are worshipping the demigod. This wasn't Kali Yuga.
He was starving because he was in the water.
He was starving because he was in the water.
The fire
couldn't bring him his... Yeah. I mean, the yogis were coming. The yogis were there. It's not that they were stopped.
He couldn't come out of the water.
But he was just in the wrong place to receive them.
Yeah, the fire was afraid to enter the water.
Yeah. No, yogis were there. It's not there were no yogis. Everything was there. His food was coming, but he was okay. Yes, well, I guess Yogya Sankirtanam was not to Kali Yuga.
It was only his food. He was doing food in there for months. He was starving, but he still alive.
He was starving, but he was living. So he wasn't dying.
Eating less.
He was, no, he had nothing. Eating less. Okay, Dhamma Krishna's next input. What does this have to do with Indra starving?
No, that he says that in Kali Yuga actually Brahmins cannot perform.
Yeah, we do. Okay, whenever you have a diksha, yagya, then they get something. And marriages. Marriages, initiations. They get something. Also, but chanting the holy name. Deity worship is also acceptable. Yeah, you offer food to Krishna and the demigods get prasad. Patri, what do you want to say? Another saying. Is this in Hindi or Sanskrit?
Well, in Hindi.
According to your cup.
According
to our container. So whether it's an ocean or river or well, we only get as much water as will fit in our container. Kamandal.
Ocean of yagyas
are there. So he was, he didn't have proper container, and he was full of holes due to his sinful activities.
To
receive the mercy of the yagya. Interesting.
Because he was wrong place, and
he was in the wrong place. Yeah.
Not proper.
Yes. Okay, so she doesn't understand how the yugas can only be in Bharat Varsha because time is calculated according to?
It's calculated
in terms of kalpas. And like 1,000 yugas is Brahma's day and such things like that. It may be Brahma's day, but it doesn't mean that they are in Brahma's day. That Brahma experiences it.
As far as I understand, they have the calendar.
Yeah, they have the same calendar. Like they know. Okay, now it's Kali Yuga. Now it's Treta. But the effects don't come to them.
And the effects of the yugas are manifested.
They're not manifesting. Yeah, that's what he's saying. That they have the calendar. They know. Okay, now it's because I've seen it says for the demigods, Satya Yuga is so many years. Treta Yuga is like 12,000, I think. Satya Yuga and some less for Treta. Okay, but they don't get the effects, yes? Question? What is Ritashura's internal position? What form is he in the spiritual world? Well, we know that he's a devotee of Sankarsan. So he would be in some form to associate with Sankarsan. What do you think, Adiprosh? No? I don't know, you had a look on your face like you knew something.
You go to Sankarsan.
Yes, Madan Gopal, you have your hand up? I can't see behind them. Oh, you couldn't. Well, the question was, what form does Ritashura have in the spiritual world? But he says he wants to go to Sankarsan, Lord Sankarsan. So wherever Lord Sankarsan is, that he would be serving him in some form, perhaps as a snake, perhaps as another Vishnu form. Because Sankarsan has a form, two forms we've heard of, like a Vishnu form and like a snake. So it could be one of those forms. Any, yes? His, yes, okay. One verse says that Indra's sins were diminished by the influence of Ruja. Yes. How are Indra's sins diminished by Ruja? I don't know. Do you know, Adiparush? Do the commentators say anything? How Ruja diminished his sins? I don't know. Well, what I understand is that, I mean, one thing I understand is that the northeast direction is Ruja is in charge of that direction. He's in charge of northeast. So he took shelter, Indra took shelter of the northeast direction. And that's where Ruja is. Is if you know Vastu, or Vastu of the universe is the same. Ishan is in the northeast corner. Yes.
Previously he distributed his sins to four directions, trees, water, woman, but now that witch, old lady, covered his whatever. Blood.
So previously he distributed his sins to four directions? Okay. Yes.
My question, where did she go? When he hid in the lake?
He was hiding in the lake then, where did she go?
Yes.
That's a different question. Let's answer the first one. Yes, Patrick?
This is the same, what you said,
okay, Lakshmi was there.
Indra
is worshipping Vishnu very strictly. Yeah, so it's finished. But he's wondering about Ruja. You know, how. All I know is that he's in that direction. Shiva's in the northeast direction, and he took shelter of that direction where Lord Shiva is the controller. So it's quite possible that had some effect. Your question? What was your question? Okay, now we know where Indra's previous sins are distributed and we still see the effects.
So was the second sin which was bigger than previous?
The second one was bigger.
Yeah, what
yes, it was purified because it was purified by worshipping Vishnu and then he did the Ashwamedha Yajna as well. Yes, Madan Gopal. What's that? Who? Oh, Rudra is demigod of all directions. Oh, wonderful. Okay, so it says in the verse that Ruja is a demigod of all directions. Okay. Adiprush. Okay, Jiva Goswami's commentary on verse, this is which?
17.
Okay, so she with this lady was overpowered by the Dig Devata, that must be. Of this place. So what's the reason for that? Ishana. Because Ishana?
His worshipable deity as Vishnu.
Because Ishana has his worshipable deity as Vishnu.
And therefore, because he's taking shelter of the Lord, then how can sin overcome him?
And because Indra is taking shelter of the Lord, then how can sin overcome him?
Rudra is taking shelter in Vishnu.
Ruja is taking shelter of Vishnu, so how can sin overcome? So sin is, he's the protector. Oh, no, I just got a thought. How Shiva, he's the protector of the direction or of the Dham. So in one sense, he's the protector of that direction. So in that sense, sin could, that lady could not come, because Shiva was there protecting that and he's worshipping Vishnu. So
she couldn't attack. She
couldn't attack because he was there. Yes, Manu? Oh yeah, you missed it. It was in fifth canto. We did how the structure of the universe is related to Vastu. And on the top of Mount Meru, there's Lord Brahma in the middle of the Mount Meru, and then around him in the eight directions are eight demigods, and Lord Shiva is on the northeast side. So he's like in charge of the northeast direction. We had that class in fifth canto. Yeah, she could not attack because Lord Shiva, who was there, he was protecting that direction, and he was worshipping Lord Vishnu. Because he was worshipping Lord Vishnu, then she could not attack. Sin could not come. Digdevata. Digdevata. Rudra is the Digdevata. Yeah, in every dhamma it's all directions. So here it's also all directions. So Manasasar over lake must be a dhamma of sorts. Lakshmi is living there, Lakshmi, Vishnu. Yes? Lakshmi is there. So he's there protecting as well.
Verse 5.
Who, Jiva Goswami? In verse 5. Okay. So now we're hearing the truth on King Indra. He was not exactly straightforward here. Jiva Goswami says in verse 5. He was not being straightforward.
Jiva Goswami is saying that,
according to Jiva Goswami,
when he offended Brihaspati, that sin generated another sin of killing Vishwarupa.
Okay, when he offended Brihaspati, that sin of offending Brihaspati generated another sin of killing Vishwarupa.
And just for the external show, for
So for public show, because of public opinion, he divided the sin among the four classes.
But
the four elements were there, but
subtle.
Yeah, his subtle was still there. The subtle sin was still there. He got rid of the gross.
So this remnant was eventually manifested as killing of Vritra.
Okay, so the remnant, the subtle sin in his heart was manifest as the killing of Vritrasura. So now we're tracing the whole history here.
And Indra is still inside.
So when the Brahmanas are approaching him to kill Vritrasura, Indra was feeling the remnant was still inside there.
So he can feel it. There is still
he could remnant. Feel there's a remnant, and it will bring about the reaction.
But externally, he refused.
Externally he refused, but internally he was ready.
He said, no, no, I cannot kill.
Yes, he says, I cannot kill, you know, because I will get the reaction. I already gave it before, but now how will I get freedom?
So
because he wanted to rule the citizens just as before.
That's why he's concealing the remaining sin.
So he's concealing the remaining sin in his heart, but actually it was there. And he was thinking, yes, I want to kill. The sin was there in his heart.
Yeah,
so he tricked the Brahmins into falsely assuring him that don't worry, we'll do this yajna for you and we'll be all right. Huh?
They were cheating each other.
Yes, cheating each other. Cheaters and cheated. Okay, his question, if Indra's mentality was proper, then the Brahmanas would be able to purify him. Yes, so what would be the proper mentality?
Like, he had no false ego with respect.
No false ego.
No attachment for ruling his
kingdom. No attachment for ruling his kingdom, yes. He's just doing his service out of duty. Nothing for himself. Then yeah, in that case, he probably wouldn't even need the Ashwamedha Yajna to get purified. He's doing akarma activity. If you're doing akarma, if you're doing it for Krishna, if you're just actually doing devotional service for Krishna in that mentality, then. Verse 6.
Rishis encouraged him because this was for the benefit of the universe.
Rishis encouraged him because it was for the benefit of the universe.
For
destruction of the demon.
And on the strength of the Lord's plan.
And on the strength of the Lord's plan. Okay.
And then, so there, if you work out of these motives, and one thing, and then in next verse 7,
verse 7.
And therefore, from the shadow of this sin, the shadow of Prayashchitta will purify you.
Okay, from this sun, the shadow of Prayashchitta will purify you.
From the shadow of sin?
This is the shadow of sin. So shadow of Prayashchitta will purify you. Okay. Yes, it seems also that Vitrasura was disturbing, causing a lot of disturbance before Indra, actually, before he came to Indra. He was doing some demonic activities, and everyone was disturbed, the demigods, the sages. Otherwise, why would they come? He was behaving quite demoniacally and causing disturbances. And that's why Indra was requested. It wasn't that he just came in ready to kill Indra, but he was causing trouble for other people as well, like a demon does.
From
the shadow of sin, the shadow of Prayashchitta will purify. Prayashchitta. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Shiva.